Scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43. It's just a few verses about the crucifixion, focusing in on the criminals a little bit, and we'll look at the full text come Good Friday. So Luke 23, verse 40. But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Amen.
We come to a time of hymn requests, and this is where you can request your favorite. Does anybody have a song they would like to lead off with? 523, yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yesterday he died for me. Yesterday, yesterday, yesterday.
Trust and obey. We will sing verses 1 and 5. 349.
Still.
105. 105, he is Lord. Let's do verses 1 and 2, but we will take that third ending into the refrain then. Verses 1 and 2 into the refrain. And this will be our last one. 58, this is my Father's world. We will sing verses 1 and 3.
I want you to pretend for a few moments that you are in confirmation class. So 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, this is your time to shine. How many Gospels are there? For anybody can answer. There's 4. What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How many synoptic Gospels are there? 3, and they are? Matthew, Mark, and Luke. What does synoptic mean? Similar. I have no clue. I did not hear. Sorry. Synoptic means it's similar history. Similar history. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke have much of common material. But when it comes to the crucifixion, You kind of got to look at all four of them and pull out verses. So I took the passage from Luke 23 in those verses. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John separately. I created a document with four different columns, and I lined up across the page the verses. Because in order to understand the crucifixion, you got to pull from all four of the Gospels. Even though Matthew, Mark, and Luke have similar, and they have much in common, they offer some different insights when it comes to the crucifixion. And when it comes to the crucifixion and the verses we read, there are two criminals, one on the right and one on the left. One on the left, one on the right. I realized I did that backwards with my hands. And Jesus is in the middle in all four Gospels. Okay? They're ordered. In none of the Gospels are the two criminals given names. I wish they had names, because it'd be easier to refer to them throughout these next several minutes. But I'm not even going to talk about one or two. I'm just going to name them as criminals. And we can learn a lot from those two criminals, and we can learn more from one of the criminals than the other. Now, to understand the whole crucifixion and go through that history once again, that's Good Friday and Holy Week. But I want to look at what the NIV describes as these two criminals, robbers or criminals. Other versions will refer to them as murderers. We're going to look at them a little bit in their significance as to why these verses are in the Gospels. The significance has to do with what it sets up for us in understanding not only crucifixion, but what it means for us in our daily lives. These verses offer a view of the commonality of crucifixion in the days of Jesus. I've never seen anybody crucified, but back in the days of Jesus, it was a normal occurrence. And we could sit here and describe the scene that's on the screen and what did Jesus actually carry through the Via Dolorosa? Was it the horizontal bar? Was it the entire cross? But that's a later. We're just going to focus in on the two criminals, but it was a common reality, an ugly common reality in the days of Jesus. Jesus being crucified with two common criminals serves to debase Jesus even further. It was a goal of the religious leaders to minimize who Jesus really was. And to be crucified with those two, all three of them could be viewed as criminals. And because he's crucified with those two, they're sinners. Jesus must also be a sinner. But yet one of the criminals crucified with Jesus captures our attention as we look at the particular verses. It's interesting to note that the Gospels of Matthew and Mark share that, like the crowd, those two criminals were hurling insults. They were mocking Jesus. As they hung on the cross, they were mocking the person on the third cross. That's Matthew and Mark. But in the Gospel of Luke, only one of the criminals is mocking Jesus. The other one rebukes the first criminal. There can be no discrepancy between the scriptures, so how do we understand that two of them have both of the criminals mocking Jesus, and one of them has just one? Remember, it's four different accounts, eyewitness accounts of what happened at the crucifixion, and they remember different things, or it can be that those criminals, we know Jesus was on the cross from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., so the criminals probably were at that same time. Both criminals might have started out insulting and mocking Jesus, but as Jesus offered his seven thoughts, his seven words from the cross, maybe one of those criminals, he started to listen. Maybe what he knew ahead of time about Jesus started to make some sense, and he had a change of heart. And so he no longer mocked Jesus from the cross, but he ultimately had a little conversation with Jesus. And while it's that criminal, the one that had a change of heart on the cross, that's the one, the subject of our message, we first have to look at the other criminal. He mocked and he scorned Jesus, even while hanging on the cross. And if you've read anything about the cross, it's a torturous reality of being crucified. If you look closely, you can't really see that. A lot of crosses have a little platform where the criminal or the person being crucified can rest their feet and they can kind of push themselves up. But over time, you try to stand still for 6 hours and you start to sag. And that's when all of the weight rested on your shoulders, on your chest, and it became very hard to breathe. This criminal, as his hours of life ebbed away, took the effort to stand up and be able to mock and insult Jesus. Evidently, that criminal had no sense of remorse for being found guilty of what he had done because he mocked Jesus. Or, as some suggest, maybe as he mocked Jesus, called out, "Save yourself. If you're the Christ, save yourself and save us as well." Maybe he was mocking, but maybe he was begging Jesus to save himself. But in thinking of the criminal that had the change of heart, Scripture offers an insightful lesson for all people, realizing that the Bible offers just a couple of verses about this man. For instance, in questioning the mocking criminal, the criminal alluded to fearing God. "Fear God," he says. In some way, this other criminal that had the change of heart, he had a respect for God. He knew something about God. There was an awareness of who God was, and in that fear of God, it's an aspect of respect, an aspect of knowledge. And that criminal, recognizing that all three were being crucified, he said that two were being crucified justly because of their own deeds, but he knew that the third, Jesus, should not be on the cross with them because he had done nothing wrong. This criminal saw past the accusations that others had thrown at Jesus. And again, hanging on the cross, suffering great pain, great difficulty in breathing, and speaking was even more difficult. But this criminal made the effort to speak to Jesus. Hanging on the cross, in his final hours, he speaks to Jesus. And as he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom," Jesus got the attention of that criminal. And that's what Jesus wants of every single person. He wants to capture the attention of everyone. This criminal believed Jesus was who he said he was. He heard and he listened and he began to believe. And he calls out to Jesus. And he believed in the promise of everlasting life. Your kingdom, it's in the future, everlasting life. And we don't have any information, we have no awareness of what that criminal had heard or knew about Jesus prior to his change of heart on the cross, but it took place, and we can read about it. In those 6 hours on the cross, hanging beside Jesus, this criminal's words and understanding garnered a response from Jesus. For Jesus offered three pieces of knowledge and wisdom to the man and ultimately to us. He says, "Truth." John 14:6, we know Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. That truth is found only in Jesus. And Jesus says, "Today." The criminal had been thinking about the future. Jesus says today. It's not a future event, but Jesus wants our attention today. And the peace and the promise will come. And then Jesus uses that word paradise. Paradise. It's a Persian word meaning garden or park. It's used in Genesis chapter 2 and 8 talking about the Garden of Eden. It's also a word used in Isaiah 51, 3 talking about a garden or a park. Paradise. What does it really mean? It means that there is peace. There is no torment. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. It's peaceful. Glory. Glory to the grace of God. You get to paradise through giving glory to God. It's not by what we do. It's not by human merit. So that criminal, remember me, Jesus didn't have to remember because it was today. Jesus said today. He doesn't have to remember because Jesus just knows. The criminal asked to be remembered, but Jesus said, you will be with me. Eternity with Jesus. And the criminal looked for a king, a kingdom. They were mocking Jesus about being a king. They wrote King of the Jews over his head on the cross. And this criminal looked for a kingdom, but instead Jesus promised him paradise. One criminal. This had a change of heart. He claimed salvation through Jesus. And the Bible offers what we know as a deathbed confession in this instance. As long as a person is alive, it is never too late to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. One author put it this way: the conversion of the one criminal's heart is in the Bible, so no one would despair. Think about that criminal. On the cross, final hours of life, he realized hope. He didn't have to despair, but there was hope. The conversion of the one criminal's heart is in the Bible, so no one would despair, but only one. This is the only occurrence of this kind of experience in Scripture. The conversion of the one criminal's heart is in the Bible, so no one would despair, but only one, so that no one would presume. So that no one would presume. The sinner who puts off confession of the Lord to another day. I have time. I can wait. That's a presumption. Because Jesus says today. And so we have the reality of this deathbed confession. That today we are to deal with our sin. We are to confess and we are to repent. And most importantly, we are to acknowledge Jesus as our Lord. So in the season of Lent, we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus and we accept and we know His peace. We know paradise. Praise be to God. Amen. It is the ministry of the Christian church to offer the peace of Christ to all. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive our morning offerings to continue the ministry of the church. Thank you. Gracious Lord God, we thank you for the blessings of your peace. And we pray that these offerings and the ministry of the church and the ministry of ourselves would share the peace of Jesus Christ with others. For your glory we pray. Amen.
At this time, we will sing our closing hymn. It is Jesus, Remember Me. It is found on page 6. It's an insert in your bulletin. Then after the closing hymn, we will have the spoken benediction. And then following the spoken benediction, we will have the benediction in song, which is No Not One. We will be singing verse 4 of No Not One, which is also found on page number 422 in your red hymnal. Now, for Jesus, Remember Me, Lynn is going to play it through once, and then we are going to sing it through three times. The first time, we are going to sing it loud. The second time, we're going to sing it medium loud. And then the third time, we're going to sing it as softly as we can. It is, after all, a short prayer. So let us pray.
The gospel proclaims the truth and the reality that Jesus Christ knows you. As you give your life to him, he knows you and he will remember you. May his peace be with you today. Amen.